glad that happened because it got me to where it's at. Or even more so, they say, well, God, let me do that so it would get me to where I am today. God, let me use drugs and cause me to be an alcoholic or cause me to be unfaithful or cause me to be hurt in a relationship or cause me to be involved in homosexuality. And God didn't cause or create any of those things in our lives. When you and I made those decisions and got to the lowest part of our lives, the Bible says that he took that and he turned it around and he uses it for something good in your life. That's why Carrie can get up today and she doesn't say that, oh, I'm glad I went through that. But she says, in the middle of where I was, God turned it around. And now he's using it as a force in her life to tell others about the saving, loving power that Jesus can do, not only in her life, but in any life that says, here I am, Lord, use me. And I believe with all my heart, amen, if you're going to clap, don't mess around today. I believe with all of my heart that although he didn't cause me to do that, that he finds me in the depths of that. And he says, I'm going to help you out of that. I'm going to lift you out of that. And I'm going to turn your life around. And whatever the enemy meant for evil, God said, I'm going to turn around and I'm going to do something good. You remember the story in Genesis where Joseph, where he began to share his dreams and his brothers heard him. They got jealous. And the Bible says that they sold him. First they wanted to murder him. But then instead they thought they'd sell him. And he went through all these difficult times. He was in prison. He was accused of raping a woman and all those things. And he gets to the point where God delivers him out of that years later. And his very brothers that had harmed him and meant to hurt him came and stood before him as the second most powerful man in the land at the time when they were hungry. And he was the one that held the keys to the food. And when they came to him, he looked at him and he told them who he was. He could have said, and he could have held all that in, and he could have used that moment to strike them dead. But he says to them, he says, what you did, you meant for evil. Of course, it was for evil. But he said, God used it to do something greater than what you ever thought possible. And God will take your hardships, your difficulties, your faults, your pains, your past, and he didn't create it, but he'll take you in the middle of it and he'll turn it right around and he'll begin to do something that'll bring glory and honor to his holy name. I believe that with all of my heart. And this verse of scripture in Romans 8, 28, and if you know your Bible at all, he says, Paul says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. He didn't say, and we know God caused them. It says, we know that God, he causes, he takes everything. And he'll work it together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. And I heard this story this past few weeks about this precious woman by the name of Fanny Crosby. And Fanny Crosby was one of the greatest prolific hymn writers of all time. And she wrote over 1,000 hymns. Some of them, Draw Me Near, He Hideth My Soul in the Cleft of the Rock, Blessed Assurance, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. At 6 weeks of age, a doctor began to work on her eyes. And the story says it put some mustard pack on her eyes. He committed malpractice and created and caused a blindness to come upon Fanny Crosby when she was at the age of 6 weeks old. And she says, the doctor that spoiled my eyes left the neighborhood and we never heard from him ever again. And this is what she said. She said, if I could talk to him, I would tell him he did the greatest favor in the world for me. Because he made me blind, I memorized the scripture and I began to write songs out of the overflow of my heart. And she said, I needed to know in my difficulty that he would use it to do something good with it. And she says, God loved me first so I could learn to love others. And the Bible says, and I want to read this out of Romans 12 and verse 1 and 2, and I want to read it from the Message translation. It says, Paul says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, you're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Come on, my brothers and sisters, will you consider that today? Whatever you're at, whoever you are, whatever background, will you take it and place it before God as an offering? He says, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out, and readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it, unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. You say, how do I get to that? How do I get to that place where I can love when wrong has been done to me, when I have been hurt, when I have gone through challenges and difficulties? How could I ever love? And I believe what God is saying is that He wants to help us to hit the refresh button in our lives, for our families, for our homes, for our marriages, for the circle of people that are close to us in our life, and learn to love them like He has loved us. And not to be drawn down into that level of immaturity that the world would want to take you to. See, Fanny Crosby wasn't interested in getting a lawsuit going. She was more focused on, okay, God, this really is bad, but how can you use it? And the Bible says that if we're going to learn love, we have to go and start at the origin of it, which is in John 3:16. He says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God is the God of love. He is the origin of love. And if it comes to us, we have to go to Him to see how this love works. We have to allow Him to have the influence in our lives, because sometimes in life, the lines of our understanding get blurred in with everything that is going on and everything that is coming at us. It's not always easy to love everyone. And I know there's people that go around just say, oh, all you got to do is love. Well, I've learned something, that the people that throw that out so blatantly have never been assaulted, so they have a reason not to love. Because God's love, though, is unconditional. It's unrelenting. It's unfailing. And He can heal the brokenness that is in our lives. Whatever failure, whatever hurt, whatever misfortune has happened, He is unconditional in His love. He's also sacrificial. God sent Jesus, and it costs Him something to do that. His love is also personal. It's not a philosophy. It came in the person of Jesus Christ. And through a person, He came into the earth, into the world, and He revealed His love through His Son, Jesus. God's love is also acceptable. You can ask Him to let it come into your life. You may be here today and say, well, I can't do that. That's just not me. I'm hard. I'm difficult. You know, you can pause in your life long enough to say, Jesus, I need You to come into my heart. I need to receive You into my life. I need that love in my life, because I will never be able to show love until I understand what love is in my life. God's love is accessible. This is the good news. It's not reserved for the perfect. It's not for a certain age or a certain color. It's not for a certain background or those who are more spiritual. It's for everyone who will call upon the name of the Lord. Oh, I'm thankful for that today, aren't you? And when we choose to believe Him and invite Him into our heart, He gives us access to the love of God. You don't know that until He becomes a part of your life. And so how do I give something that I don't have, or do I don't understand? In 1 John 4:9, it says, this is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we may live through Him. And He goes on to say, and this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us, and He sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. When you see me or see someone else, you should see Jesus because you see the love of God in us. Verse 16, it says, and so we know and rely on the love God has for us. Verse 19 says, we love because he loved us. And my brothers and my sisters, we don't love until we go towards that love, the love that God gives through his son Jesus. And when that becomes a part of who we are, the natural outflow of our lives then is the love one another. Oh, it really is. And the only way we can love the impossible, the only way that we can love those who have hurt us the most, the only way that we can love the ones who have betrayed us or the ones who are difficult is to have and know that he loved us first and now we can love others because you cannot give what you don't have. I like the old saying, when what's down in the well comes up in the bucket. And if you don't have love down in you, when you pull up the bucket, love doesn't come in it automatically. You got to put it in you. You got to get his love inside of you. And the secret of his love is being loved by God. Hallelujah. And our first step towards love is not towards the unlovable, but it's towards God. At the hardest times of my life, to love the unlovable, when I made a movement towards God, it helped me to love those who were unlovable. Is anybody ever else, anybody here ever had to do that, or am I the only one? You had to love somebody that was unlovable, that was difficult. I think I've told the story before. I told it to the people in the first service years ago when I worked at Home Depot. We had a particular manager, and she was meaner than a junkyard dog that hadn't eaten in 2 weeks. I mean, she was mean. She painted her lips, that she made her lips bigger just by stretching out the lipstick, and her lips were like this bright red orange, and you could see her coming, like all you could see is those lips coming like a long ways away. And, you know, I got to describe it for you to get the full benefit of it. Her eyes were really big. They were a size of like tennis balls. She had these thick glasses on. So when she looked at you, you were like, whoa, she's really looking at it. And I can see her. She'd be coming and she'd be rough and she'd be mean. And man, one day, God, help us. And the Lord said, show her love. And I found out it was her birthday and there was a guy that worked there with me. He was a friend of mine, knew the Lord. I said, let's get her a birthday present. It's her birthday. He says, are you crazy? Are you smoking something or taking something? What are you thinking of? I said, no, let's show her some love. So we went and we bought this gift. It was big. We had it wrapped up, big fluffy bows on it. Brought it in one day, unknowing, put it up in the racking there. And here she comes. Man, I'm telling you, I can see it. I hope she's not here. No, she's... wouldn't that be something right now? She come walking down here. Dear Jesus. She come walking down that aisle. I'm thinking, oh my goodness, here she comes. And I wait until she gets about 15 feet off, and she's got that look on her face, hands on her hips. She's ready to decapitate somebody. And we reached up in there and pulled out that big gift and said, here, happy birthday, and put it in her hand. She stopped, and the tears begin to roll down her cheek. And she looked, and she said, nobody has ever done this for me before. Why did you do this? And I said, with everything that was in me, Lord, help me, Jesus, Spirit of God, empower me now, because we love you. So nobody's told me that. Begin to find out that as a child she was hurt and abused. You see, you don't know what people are going through. Maybe they are miserable and you judge them because of that, but you don't know their story. You don't know where they came from. And so you can't assault them with your judgment until you know their story. And when you know their story, it'll give you compassion on their lives. And sometimes you have to show, and I have to show love first before we'll ever know that story. The secret of love is being loved by God. Now, our first step towards loving others is loving him. You see, because when you see others through his lens, you will see his love. And then you'll be able to deploy the love that he has for you. 1 Corinthians 13 says it all. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It does not boast. It's not proud. It doesn't dishonor others. It's not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It protects. It trusts. It hopes. It perseveres. Love never, ever fails. And the secret of love is showing God's love to others. You know, when you and I begin that have received love, when we begin to show that love to others, our lives are more impacted and more full of love. So how do we do that? How do we show it? Number one, by saying it. You got to learn to say. The three most powerful words in the world are, I love you. I love you. I've said that to my boys since they were babies. I still say it to them now. And I say it to all my grandkids. I say it to some people today, even to this day, and they look at me and they wonder, why would you say that? Because it'll change. It'll impact your life. Parents, say it to your children, husbands and wives. Say it to your spouses. Say it in your family. Say it around the people that you know. Tell them, hey, I love you. And you got to learn to write it. Sending cards and letters. And I want to get better at that. I was reminded this morning as I was praying, a lot of times I'll just take a bunch of cards. Sometimes in the office, I'll have everybody and the staff. I say, we're going to send out 100 cards this week. And we just send out those cards. And I'll never forget a few years ago, a mother came to me whose son committed suicide. And she said, as we were going through my son's apartment, I found this note that you sent to him. Man, that impacted me. Because cards and letters last a long time. And you know what? If you can't do that, maybe even send a text. And if you can't do that, send them an emoji. I didn't even know what an emoji was till a few months ago. A who? How do you do that anyways? And now you can send these big hearts. Hey, I want to encourage you today. Start somewhere. Send some hearts today. Come on. Come on. Send a heart. Show some love. Write it. And then you got to learn to give it. Not just big things, but you can give little things. I love to buy people coffee. I love to go to a Starbucks. I'm telling you go with me sometimes to a Starbucks or to wherever. And I'll walk in there, might be nobody there. And after I'm in there, there's a line behind me. I say, oh, dear Jesus, how many of these you want me to buy? It's always funny that some people are there, oh, gee, well, thank you. And then others are there, no, I don't want you to buy for me. I don't want you to buy anything. It's okay. I want to say to them, you got a little issue going on in your life, don't you? I don't. I tell them, I'm 60 years old. I've been married for 38 years. I have 3 children and 5 grandchildren. I'm not looking for another spouse. I'm just obeying God. Get over yourself. Give it. Yeah. Can I tell you, when you give it, you get the bigger blessing? Next, showing love, you got to forgive. Amen. I knew I wouldn't get a shout down on that one. A lot of people master this where they think, well, yeah, I forgive them. But they really don't. And you carry that in your heart and it burns you down. And it has the tendency to spoil everything and everyone else in your heart. Because you carry that around with you. And it darkens who God has called you to be. And God is telling someone today, you've got to give forgiveness in your life to somebody that deserves it today because you and I have been forgiven. And when you do that, you become closer to God and you begin to take that next step in that direction. And finally, you got to live it. You got to live loving others. You got to live that. You could say it all you want. Oh, I love people. Oh, yeah. You know, I hang around with a lot of preachers and pastors, and I get a kick out of them. They want to be the last one to come into the service and the first one out. They say, I know these guys that say, well, I just don't like people. I go, what? Really? What are you again? I'm a pastor. But I'm more than a pastor. I'm a communicator. I am a deliverer of the God. And you don't like people? You're nothing but a bag of hot air, brother. You got to live it if it's going to live through you. Come on today. You got to show, come on. You got to show people that you love them. And it's not just for the easy ones. It's for the hard ones too. Those can be the most challenging to love. But you have to, and you have to start now, because you don't have an infinite amount of time left in your life to do this. William Shakespeare said, better is 3 hours too soon than a minute too late. I love that. One of the things that I love to do in staff meetings and other meetings that I may lead is I like to stop in the middle of it, and I'll pick out a person in that group, and then I'll say to everybody else, I'll say, tell me 3 things that you love about this person. It's one of the most empowering exercises that you could ever do. And as they go around and they begin to say, well, I love this, they're this, and they do that, and just go down the line. It's so beautiful. I mean, hardly ever do you get past doing this without a tear. I think, and I want to get through this without, yesterday I had a crying spell in my office when I was praying and studying. I mean, I fell apart. Nobody was around. I was weeping uncontrollably. I was reminded of a few weeks ago. We went over in the youth center, in the generation center. There was just a handful of kids over there at the time. I don't know what they were doing. They were doing something. Maybe 4 or 5 of them. And Aaron Martin was there. And I just, impromptu, I said, tell me something. Tell me, each one of you, tell me 3 things that you love about Pastor Aaron. And one by one, those kids, they would say things like, she's a great leader. They would say things like, she speaks really well. One of them said, she was good looking like you are, Pastor. That's a joke. I just had to shove that in there. Then we got to one of them young boys. Little Ben, I call him Little Ben Wagner. He sat there at that table. I didn't even get to him yet. Tears began to flow down his face, and he looked up at her. This is what I'm trying to tell you this morning. And he looked at her. He says, I love her because she helps me. Oh my goodness, I began to cry. And I thought about that yesterday. I think that's why I fell apart, because when you tell people that you love them, you help them. Not just for right then, but it impacts them for the rest of their life. So you can hate. It doesn't cost you anything to hate or to misuse or to abuse. But when you love, you change a life. Love. This old song that Fanny Crosby wrote, pass me not, oh gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. I want you just to close your eyes just for a moment. You want God's love to work in you. Today's the day for that. Maybe you're struggling in home. Maybe there's a husband and wife here. You haven't said any good thing to her or him in a long time. But today's the day where that needs to change in your life. Maybe you have a hard time. Just close your eyes and bow your head with me just a moment. I'm going to close. The love of God is coming to you today. You say, I don't feel worthy of it. You're right. Just as I shared last week about Hosea and Gomer, God showed his love to the unlovely and the unlovable. That's the love of God today. He loves you so much. That old song Fanny Crosby wrote it, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry while others thou art calling. Do not pass me by. I want the prayer people to come up here this morning. Just keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed just for a moment. Maybe you're here today and you've never given your heart to Christ. You need to do that before you leave today. So, well, it's not joining a church. It's giving your life to him. Just like Carrie said, she was sitting in a car. You don't have to be in a church for that to happen, but you're here today, and why not let it happen? He loves you so much. If you're here today, your eyes are closed all over the house. I don't want anybody looking around. Nobody needs to move right now. He loves you. The love of God is coming into your life right now. Right now. I thank you, Lord. Benny, come here. I'm going to close in prayer. If today you want to give your life to Christ, I want you, while Benny's praying and he's closing, I want you to come down. Maybe you're here today and you're having a hard time loving others. You just need some help. You just need somebody to agree with you in that. When Ben's closing in prayer, I want you to come down. The Lord wants to help you in that area of your life. Maybe there's a challenge that you're going through and you don't feel the love of God. You know him, but you don't feel him today. You just need some assurance. While Ben is praying, I want you to come down.
Lord, we ask you right now to move on the hearts of your people, and we ask you to really, really set our hearts on fire for love, Lord. Just as you tell us in the Bible to love others. Lord, I pray that you'll give us forgiveness and peace and love this week as we go throughout our week. And Lord, I pray for every person here that you'll bless them, their family, and their relationships, and the needs that they bring to you. Lord, I pray that you'll answer them and show them that you're such a real God. Lord, I thank you for every person here. And I pray that you'll bless them. And in Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. If you need prayer, we want to pray for you. Please come down here. Have one of these folks pray for you. Just as Carrie said earlier, it just could take a moment. God bless you and have a wonderful week.